Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
AFH. The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on the Kansas Jayhawks. Let's go now to the KU football and basketball beat writer from the Kansas City Star, Shreyas Latta.
And welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. Big day tomorrow, of course. Hope everybody's able to celebrate and have fun. We bring in Shreyas Latta here. We got a lot to talk about. We got a big football game coming up this weekend. We had a big basketball game last night. Shreyas, KU gets it done against Duke. You know, I know how you feel about KU's need to shoot the three. There's not a team that was going to force them to do that, likely, more than Duke was going to last night. They did. KU hit a high percentage of them. It was good enough. Got to think you're pretty happy about the way KU played, because stylistically, that was a really, really interesting matchup going in.
Yeah, I think it was a phenomenal kind of game plan on both ends of the court for KU basketball. I think they did a really good job of, you know, when the guys who don't score, KJ Adams, DeJuan Harris, they stepped up, because it felt like Duke was essentially saying, Hunter Dickinson is not going to beat us. AJ Store is not going to beat us. But DeJuan Harris, and if KJ Adams beat us, that's fine. And that's why Duke's defense is so, so good. And as we saw, Hunter was struggling throughout most of the game before his ejection. And KJ did KJ Adams things, including making four jump shots, which I don't think I've seen him make four jump shots since I've joined the KUB. I think that was the best I've seen his jumper look ever. He was phenomenal on the other end. I wrote a whole story about it, but you know, I called it the Cooper Flag rules, a kind of reference to the Jordan rules. And it's fascinating how good KU was on defense against Cooper Flag and that Duke squad. And I mean, he just looked uncomfortable. He had 2 points at halftime on two shots. He ended up 13 points, five rebounds, three assists, and four turnovers. I knew going in that I thought KU would have a good chance against Cooper Flag, because KJ is such a great defender, but he has the strength on a freshman guard that is 17 years old. It's one of those games that I bet you Cooper Flag's going to say, hey, I'm going to look back on this tape, and this is the thing I'm going to grow from for the rest of the season. And when I'm playing the NBA, this is how I'm going to, you know, identify how to play against defenders who are stronger, bigger, better than me. He's 17 years old, but you know, KU put the book out on how to beat Cooper Flagg. The issue is most college basketball teams don't have a KJ Adams.
Yeah, he's a unicorn. I mean, he is, and he was awesome last night. Hunter Dickinson made a big mistake. I have not listened to post game yet. I haven't gone through that with the late finish. What was the vibe? Because to me, it was a really stupid play on his part. But Tommy didn't like the call. And a lot of people didn't like the call. I get all that, but I just feel like he can't put himself in that position. Did he talk after the game? What was Bill Self saying about that situation? Because you just can't do that in that spot.
No, Hunter didn't talk after the game, but Bill Self said that he felt like he deserved at least a flagrant one. He said it's a coin flip decision between a one or two. He didn't think it was quite a two, but he understood it. You know, I think he got the idea. I think initially, as you saw in the reaction that Bill Self had during the game, he said he saw it on the screen, which I don't understand. Apparently the score wasn't showing or whatever in the arena, which is so weird to me. But he saw it on the screen above, and you could see him kind of protest, which makes sense. But I think after re-looking at it again and kind of having the benefit of foresight of kind of seeing how everything played out, it seems like he was absolutely clearly deserved at least a flagrant one. You know, we can argue semantics between one and two. I don't think he's not going to get suspended because it's up to KU at this point.
Yeah.
That's not a worry of mine. But I thought it was an incredibly stupid play by Hunter Dickinson, by a guy who's 24 years old. And there's no reason for that. You know, they need him out there, and they barely hung on because they don't have the offense to kind of keep him going against a team like Duke consistently.
Well, I think the bottom line, Sharius, is that a year ago, Kansas wouldn't have won that game had that happened to Hunter Dickinson. They did not have the depth. They did not have the personnel to be able to sort of pick up the slack. And I think although it was a bad situation, Dickinson, I agree, shouldn't have put himself in that position to begin with. I didn't agree that he should have been ejected, but still, you can't be in that kind of situation with the experience that you have. That's not the right place to be in. I do think that could actually be important for the Jayhawks moving forward because they still won that game without him. We've known how talented Kansas is. I'm not sure that we knew until last night how resilient this Jayhawks squad is, and the fact that they were able to pick up the slack with the guard play, making the shots, and then really, most importantly, defensively down the stretch in those final couple of defensive possessions. Those were huge, all without Dickinson on the court.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And Florey played a phenomenal game. I've been as high on Florey Badunga as I think anybody on the KU beat, and with good reason. I think he's a archetype that Kansas has lacked for years, a rim-running big man that can play above the rim. And he's just phenomenal to watch. I mean, he had great defense in closing moments, that KJ Adams and Florey tandem defense in, like, I think the 15 seconds left where Duke turned over the ball was really, really good. Playing defense without fouling, getting crucial rebounds. I think he ended up with 8 rebounds in the game. I was really impressed by his poise. But on top of that, you know, you have guys stepping up like Rylan Griffin in key moments, making tough shots time and time again. KJ Adams putting together, positions where Kansas can come out there and score because of key rebounds. I thought it was a really impressive win because to me, it showed that this Kansas team is equipped to deal with disaster. And disaster is Hunter Dickinson, their best offensive player, or at least their easiest offense on the court, is just dump it down low and let him go to work. He was gone against the best defensive team in the nation coming into the game. And you could see how good they are defensively. Like Duke, talent-wise, I think is probably the most talented team in the nation. I think it's just Bill Self coach circles around, the Duke coach. And I think that's just, a little bit of Bill Self's, expertise. And I was very impressed with Kansas after last night's win.
I think that's fair. So let's stack it up against last year and all the things that KU struggled with. The depth looks better. The 3-point shooting certainly looks better. Do you think we're seeing things settle into what we'll see for the entire season? Or do you still envision Griffin and Badunga and Coit maybe growing, probably more Griffin and Badunga growing those roles a little bit? And, are we looking at the 7 or 8 guys that we're going to see all year? Anybody else have a chance to play their way into the rotation?
I don't think there's a ton of people that could really play their way. I guess maybe Shaquille Moore because he's a good defensive guard. He could listen, but it seems like he's out indefinitely with the injury that he has. I'm very curious to see what happens with him, but I think the rotation could be, you could be kind of interchangeably have AJ Story and Riley Griffin in that starting lineup, depending on who they're playing. I think AJ did a really good job last night after a little bit of a tough start, that turnover and a missed shot, but he kind of got it together. And Riley had a really bad first half. If you remember that shot he took, which was, to me, was just incredibly dumb of a decision, because you're a guy that's been on an Alabama Final Four team. You're taking a transition three with 18 seconds left. Like, what are we doing here? Like, you should know better. And he went out there in the second half and he shut down everybody, including me, and did a really good job of making key shots, doing a good job of keeping Cave's offense alive. And I really think we haven't seen the best version of Riley Griffin, AJ Storr, Diggy Coit, or Floyd Badunga for this Kansas team. And to me, that is especially really scary for college basketball. I don't know if all of them are going to be clicking at the same time. Maybe they'll have different spurts throughout the season, but I think, you know, there is a lot more we can get out of them, that Kansas can get out of them this coming year.
DeJuan Harris, Shreyas, led all KU scorers with 14 points. He added 9 assists, so 1 assist away from a double-double. But he's not, you know, he's not the big playmaker that the other guys are, you know, especially guys like Griffin and Storr and Mayo. But he's just the model of consistency, and he's somebody that, with that veteran experience, I've been way impressed watching him through the first few games of this season as the kind of that general of the team and that veteran leader that Bill Self always likes to have. And I think that in a big spot like last night against Duke, I mean, he showed why he is the leader of this team.
Yeah, I was really impressed. I think DeJuan has played pretty well to start the season. I think he's kind of played his spots of when to be aggressive, when not to be aggressive in offense. He talks about it where he's differential because his offense is so loaded. But I think he felt it, you know, in that moment against Duke, that he had to play aggressive basketball on the offensive end. He had to look for a shot. He had to take shots. I am very impressed with DeJuan's ability to kind of pick his spots. I think 2 years ago, he wasn't quite as good at that. And I don't think he was even good at that as last year. You know, he had moments where he could put the offense on, but I feel like this year he just knows when to kind of press the gas a little bit. And I think that is going to be a really big thing for Kansas when they have these kind of scoring droughts or maybe dig games where AJ Storr and Hunter Dickinson are not really playing up to their capabilities. Like we saw last night, I think Hunter really was not that good. AJ was pretty good, but Hunter probably played his worst game of the year, I think,
which was predictable a little bit, right? That's why we liked this matchup, because we knew Duke could do that. Like, and they'll do it better than most teams can, but they're big, right? Like that's the kind of team that's going to be able to take Hunter out. I want to talk about, I know you guys brought up KJ Adams. I want to go back to it and just like curiously, do you think there's a world where, and we've kind of seen, like, I feel like we saw it a little bit with maybe like Marcus Garrett. Do you think KJ could become the kind of defender where they just say, you know what, just go guard their best player, outside of that being like a point guard? But in general, like, if, you know, otherwise, could they just use him that way?
I think that's what they do, to be honest with you. I mean, DeJuan talks about it. They switch 1-4 with him. You know, 2 years ago, he was playing center as a 6'6", 6'7" guy. I think he is so invaluable for this KU team. I think Kansas fans, they're, you know, the debate of whether he should be in the starting lineup, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. The moment you tell me the KJ Adams should not be in the starting lineup is the moment I discount your basketball opinions. No disrespect whatsoever, but that is one thing I just don't disagree with. I've been a fervent KJ Adams is a very important player for this Kansas team, a very important player for the last 2 years Kansas teams. People want to focus on the rebounding. Sure, he can be better on that end. People want to score in the scoring. I don't care. He's not your first scorer, your second scorer. He's your third or fourth. Last year, he averaged 13 points per game. He's averaging 8.5 this game, this year. He can be a little better on the scoring end, but he's not looking for a shot because this defense or this offense is loaded. I think what KJ Adams does well is something that nobody else on this Kansas team can do. He can guard guards. He can guard bigs. He can do guard the forwards. Who can do that on this Kansas team? Nobody else. He can play, be a secondary creator on offense because his offense, his passing ability is really, really nice. He has great energy. He's a hustle guy. I just don't understand. It's unfathomable to me that KJ Adams is not looked at as the second or third most valuable player on the court for Kansas. I think if you had if you were taking off Hunter Dickinson off this team and you replaced him with a wing or comparable big man, I think KU would be worse off than if he took off KJ Adams off this team and, you know, replaced him with a normal four man or whatever. I really think that, because I think there's so much he does that doesn't show up on the box score. And I am so kind of enamored by his talent that I think he's an NBA guy. He's like Draymond Light. If he can have any semblance of a jump shot, why don't you put him in the NBA and just say, go out there and be a bulldog for like 25, 15 minutes a game, you know, like he can be that guy. The rebounding thing is going to be the biggest conundrum with him, but I think it won't matter in the end because Kansas is so talented across the board. And if they can do a better job with group rebounding, I think it kind of disqualifies how much that's going to matter. I think that's this thing that people love talking about. I personally don't care. I don't care about the jump shooting either. I think it's a bonus if he hits jump shots, but I really, really think he's going to be such a weapon for this Kansas team on the defensive end this year, like he's been the last few years.
Let's talk football, Sharius. 3 weeks in a row, 3 ranked opponents, 3 wins for the Jayhawks. They're 1 win away from a bowl game, which when they were 1-5 or 2-6, you know, that was, I think, so far out of the mindset of just about everybody. But here they are knocking on the door with the...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Road trip to Waco this weekend against Baylor, with an opportunity to make it to a bowl game. I certainly didn't see this coming. I thought that they would continue to improve, but I, you know, winning the way that they have against Iowa State and BYU and then Colorado at Arrowhead. I mean, it's been a wild couple of weeks for the Jayhawks.
It's been absolutely nuts. And as somebody who had them winning 11 games, it's absolutely frustrating yeah. that it's happening now, because I'm now like, well, you know, selfishly, I don't love the idea of being in Birmingham or wherever for Christmas, you know, after thinking I'd be in Arlington this time, August, sure. You know, but I've been really impressed with them. I think it's one of those things that people love to talk about the Big 12 and the conference. I'm an SEC guy. I went to Georgia. I get it. But this conference is so fascinating, where it's wide open, and it makes, you can see that with the way Kansas is playing. They can go out there and beat anybody. They have the talent to beat anybody on any given Saturday. And I think you go in and they go out there and do the improbable, 3 straight games, ranked opponents, they defeat them. Now you're looking at, well, maybe they can beat this Baylor team. Like, it, to me, it's like, I didn't believe it until the Colorado game happened. I think I was a little skeptical of what KU was and what it could be, but they came out there and they made Shador Sanders and Colorado and Travis Hunter look ordinary. The least amount of points he scored all game or all season was 21. Kansas did that. The defense wasn't particularly good, but they showed up in the moments that mattered. And I think that's what the difference between this Kansas team right now is, between the moments before, is they wouldn't show up in those key moments. They've shown up in these key moments. They seem to figure it out. And I feel, if I was a Kansas fan, I'd feel good about this team going to Waco. They've never beaten Baylor in Waco before. They're 0-10. It's a tough place for Kansas to play. But I think Kansas has a great shot to come out there with at least a win, or at least a close game. And I really am curious to kind of see how it plays out, because Baylor's pretty talented and balanced across the board. I think they're averaging 40 points per game in the last 5. It's going to be a fun matchup Saturday.
It's going to be tragic if they don't win that game. Like, for real. Like, honestly, like, it almost feels like the pressure's back on now, like it was early in the year. If they get all the way to this point and can't go to Waco and beat Baylor, it's going to be a tragedy. Like, it will be so sad, I think, for everybody involved if they're not at this point now playing in a bowl game. I don't know. I mean, Kansas, and then that's the thing. Like, Kansas is talented enough in this league that legitimately, if they play the way that they should be able to impose their will on anybody. They just did it against Colorado. Like, why can't they do it against Baylor? I think it's all KU this weekend. They have everything's on the line for them, and they've reestablished how talented they are.
Yeah, I kind of agree. You know, like, there's a lot on the line because you have guys who are leaving. What, there's 30 guys leaving or seniors, potentially 15 or 16 starters. Like, you don't know what's happening with Jalen Daniels. He's staying. Is he going? We have no idea where, if he's even entering the transfer portal. Is he going to the NFL? There's so much for this Kansas team that, to me, if momentum is a real thing in sports, which I believe it is, I know that's on the debate all the time, it just feels like it's impossible to topple the momentum that Kansas has right now. I don't care that Baylor's won 5 straight. Kansas has won 3 straight versus ranked opponents, and arguably they're the most, or up there, talent-wise with anybody in the Big 12. This is the team that I thought they would be when I had them going 11-1. And I, for me, I'm going to be thinking about this Kansas team for the rest of my life, because I'd be like, man, I really should be covering this team in Arlington, you know, in December or whatever, and covering a potential college football playoff squad. I mean, this conference was wide open, and I think Kansas players are going to be thinking about this thing forever too, and the coaching staff, because this was the year for Kansas to do the improbable. And next year is going to be, I think, an interesting year filled with a lot of rebuilding with the transfer portal and the class they got coming in. So right now, you have to end the season with a win against Baylor. And then wherever you play, it doesn't really matter. You've already done something that nobody thought was possible 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I'm being unfair to Baylor. I mean, some of those wins in those 5 are good, but I don't even care just because I'm with you. Like, Kansas is clearly one of the most talented teams in this league, and they're finally playing better. So we'll see. That game's this weekend. Trius, what do you have going for? I know it's a busy time. What all do you have up at the KC Star right now?
Yeah, I have a big story on how Kansas shut down KJ Adams. Or sorry, not KJ. KJ Adams and Kansas shut down Cooper Flagg. I called it the Cooper Flagg rules, kind of in the reference, a little tongue-in-cheek reference to the Jordan rules. Kind of broke down the tape there. I'll have a breakdown of Kansas versus Baylor with former Kansas quarterback Carter Stanley talking about it. I know he's excited about that too. And a lot of Duke Kansas stuff on the website, from the ejection stuff to the takeaways. It's been a busy couple of days. I'm hoping to recharge tonight and tomorrow and get back to it, getting back to Kansas on Friday morning. Should be a fun one.
Such a fun game last night. Trius, we appreciate it. We'll do it again next week. We'll have a lot to talk about next week too, because we'll know if KU's going bowling and we can start to guess at some of that kind of stuff and get ready for the college basketball season to ramp up even more. We appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays, and we'll see you next week.
Absolutely. You guys as well. Thank you.
There goes Trius Lotta. Tommy, I joked yesterday. It felt like a Sweet 16 lineup in the top 25 yesterday of college basketball. Is what, like, if you just looked at it, I think there were 8 games and they all felt like they could be. Creighton goes down.
Yeah.
UConn goes down again. A&M goes down. Alabama beats Houston in an overtime thriller. Iowa State survives against Dayton. Like, Auburn beats North Carolina in the late game. Like, it felt like we were watching the Sweet 16 last night.
My wife and I were watching the KU game, and it got over with. And then she saw the Auburn North Carolina players warming up out in Maui. She was like, wait, there's another game? What time does this game start? I'm like, well, they're in Maui. Like, it's a late game. This is feast week. 10? It's what we do.
Yeah, it was so good. Man, it was good. It was good across the board. And it filled your cup in so many ways. Like, the villain Dan Hurley loses again. Like, all these different things that just kind of get you fired up as a college basketball fan. It was so cool. All right, let's make some picks when we return. We've got the gang coming back. On the way out, let's give away some HTO. You can win a free iced tea. You can win a free Reign coffee, iced or hot. One of each of those, by texting the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. While you're in today, if you swing by, make sure you grab your gallons. The store will be closed on Thursday. So make sure you get in there and get those gallons if you're looking for it for Thanksgiving. You can enter this contest once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck. We're coming back. We're making football picks. Don't go away. Sports Daily, hour number two, coming your way.